I sing. The song, you are the song that I sing. Let's get that out. Here we go. Three times through. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the
melody.
You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. Cadences every once in a while. This one we don't have the full chords here, but what chords do you think we have? What kind of cadence do you think we have here? I know, we haven't talked about cadences in a whole week. And we don't have even full chords, so it's a little tricky to determine. Huh? In zone one, okay? So, and to be one of the ones that we talked about that ends on one is authentic. So what would be the preceding chord? Five. Now, first scale degree, what key are we in? E flat. First scale degree in E flat is E flat. Let's see. E flat, F, G, A flat. Okay. Do we have an A flat chord there? We have A flat in the soprano note, don't we, there, on the word song? Okay. A, C, E, G. Except we've got the B there. So maybe not. Might not have a four chord before. I mean, a five chord before. Huh? A, C, E. Right, it is, but I don't see a C or an E. Huh? I don't know. I'll have to give this one a little bit of thought. All right. Big pardon? Oh, yeah, it probably is. Yeah. Okay. Peace, perfect peace. Red songbooks, 239. Peace, perfect peace. Red songbooks, 239. Did I count wrong? Oh, I did. Okay. There's where the problem is. I just didn't count right. E, F, G, A, B. B flat, of course, in the key of E flat. And then the chord is B flat, D, F, A flat. 5-7 chord, root position. If you take it on the word song, root position on song, first inversion on the word I, the syllable that is passing tones. So, yes, certainly an authentic cadence. I thought it should be, and I just can't count. Okay, now back to where we were. Peace, perfect peace, 239. Key of C. No sharps or flats, key of C. Do, which is the bass part, mi is the alto part, sol is the soprano part, do is the tenor part. Hang on to those pitches. I want to read this one. And I don't want to hear me. Here we go. imperfect authenticadence is an authenticadence because we have the five chord going to the one chord. In the key of C, the one chord would be a C triad. The five chord would be a G. And you see G, B, D, and then the F being added. So a 5-7 chord on the word with, in the first verse, on the word with. So the second to the last chord is a 5 chord. The last chord is a 1 chord. So we have 5 to 1. So that makes it authentic. Then the question is it perfect or imperfect? And because soprano does not end on the tonic, does not end on the do, it is imperfect authentic cadence. We could change the melody. You probably wouldn't like it because you're used to this melody. But one way to change this melody to make the soprano end on the tonic, the blood of Jesus whispers peace with him, would make it a perfect authentic cadence. Because we're not used to it that way, yeah. And actually, there's a bit of, just a tad bit, an authentic cadence gives us a feel of finishedness to it. But when it's an imperfect authentic cadence, there's still just a slight feel of, we didn't fully wrap it all up, kind of thing. And sometimes that's the desired, that's the desire of the composer. Right, you could go all the way, see that the alto part has, right. So let's see how might we do that. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Something like that. Peace within is probably the way I would do it. Peace within. Something like that. Okay? Of Jesus whispers peace. Within, yeah. Mi, ti, do. Sure, that would work. That would probably be the easiest way to do that, to go down to the do. Okay. All right, let's do a quick review since some of you weren't here. And by the way, stuff on the back, just so that you know, there are copies, and I think they've sort of kept up now with all the copies of all the stuff that I've had. There are copies of that, and there are also just copies of blank staff paper if you want to write out some things on a musical staff. And we looked at this one before, but I wouldn't just go through it again because sometimes when you see it a second time, there are things that you didn't see the first time that maybe make more sense to you. And this is a C major scale. We've talked about scales, and I'm not going to give any more attention to that right at this time. But here's a C major scale, and we see the notes in treble clef. C, D, E, F, G, and there's the G second line, and the G clef, or the treble clef, encircles that second line from the bottom, A, B, C. That makes a C major scale. When we put solfège, and I guess I should have clarified what that word is, because several people have said to me, I never knew even what that word was, solfège, and I just zoomed through it so fast, some people thought I was talking about food from the 70s, soulfish or something, and I don't know. anyway, solfège, S-O-L-F-E-G-E, is usually the way it's spelled in our language. Solfeggio sometimes, I think, is maybe the Italian version of the same word. But when you give the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, those syllables, that's called solfège. Anyway, you attach them. First scale degree is do. Second scale degree, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. So C major scale. The tonic, the tone, the name of the scale becomes the do. Do, so C major scale, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, and you can do it backwards, do, ti, la, sol, this projector is different, I got to get just, sol, fa, mi, re, do, and you may be familiar with this song that does it backwards, do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do, There's a descending C major scale. What's the song? Joy to the World. Okay? It just happens to go straight down the scale. In order. In descending order. Okay, we also give some words. And what these words are, I know what the words are. I don't know if there's a name for that. There probably is. I don't know what it is. When we name them, instead of using do, re, mi, we can also name them. And the names we assign are for the first scale degree, the tonic. Second scale degree, supertonic. Third scale degree, mediant. Fourth scale degree, subdominant. Fifth scale degree, dominant. Sixth scale degree, submediant. Seventh scale degree, leading tone. And then we come to the tonic again. Then we can build triads. Mark used the term, I think he meant Trinity, but he talked about a triad God, which I thought that was kind of clever. Maybe that's what he meant to say. Maybe it's my fault, and I subconsciously put something in there for him now. In music, a triad is simply three notes, and we make them a third apart. So, and we can build triads on each scale degree. And when we make things a third apart and we put them on the staff, we make little snowmen, three-ball snowmen, which is, snowmen is not a musical term. But we all, you all see the snowmen there, and you know what we mean. And the bottom note is on a line, then all of them will be on a line, the next line up and the next line up. Or if you start in a space, then the next space up and the next space up. We can label each of these triads with a Roman numeral indicating the scale degree on which the root of the chord is, the bottom note of the chord, the bottom note of the triad. So the bottom note of this triad is the first scale degree, and we give it the Roman numeral 1. The bottom note of this triad is the second scale degree, and we give it Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 3, Roman numeral 4, 5, 6, 7, and then back to 1 again. So the Roman numeral tells us which scale degree the root of the chord is. Now, when we label the notes of the chord, we can the bottom one we call the root. The next one up we call the third of the chord because it's an interval of a third from the root. And the next one up we call the fifth of the chord, root, third, and fifth. And all of these triads have a root, third, and fifth. Root, third, and fifth. Maybe this thing will be better. Yours is where? Wants me to use his. I see CDs. Is it in that one?
No. Don't be taking Susie's necklace.
Oh, I would have looked there. Wow.
I might even rather have a different point, but make the rest.
Okay. Now I can stand off to the side. All right, so let's take this one. The bottom note there is the root of the chord, the third of the chord, the fifth of the chord. And this is a three chord or a mediant chord built on the third scale degree or the mediant. When we're talking about, which we're going to do it by way of review, when we talk about 5-1, if we're in the key of C, we mean this chord, a chord built on the fifth scale degree, which in the key of C is G, so it would have the notes G, B, and D to it. And then that chord would be the second to the last chord. When we say 5-1, we have this as the second to the last chord, this as the last chord, and in the key of C, that would be the notes C, E, and G. Okay? Then when we talk about inversion of chords, we have, with a triad, we have a root position, first inversion, and second inversion. The root position, what it means is what note's on the bottom. What note does the bass have? If the bass has the root of the chord, it's in root position. If the bass note is the third of the chord, it's in first inversion. And if the bass note is the fifth of the chord, it's second inversion. That's how we determine inversions of triads, of chords. Which note is on the bottom? If it's the root of the chord that's on the bottom, it's in root position. The third of the chord on the bottom, first inversion. Fifth of the chord on the bottom, second inversion. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. And we'll do a quick then review of this stuff, which I've already said some of this, so it will indeed be review. We have 7 scale degrees, if you don't count the repetition of the first note being repeated an octave higher. It really is the same note, only an octave higher. We have 7 scale degrees, and in solfege, first scale degree is do, second scale degree, re, third scale degree, mi, fourth scale degree, fa, fifth scale degree, sol, sixth scale degree, la, seventh scale degree, ti. And then those words that I gave to all of that, and what that system is, I don't know what the name of that is, which I said earlier. Okay, first scale degree is do or the tonic. And that word means tone. It means the main tone of the key that we're talking about. Okay? Second scale degree? Super tonic. Right. Able to leap tonics in a single bound. It's just above the tonic. Okay? Third scale degree? Mediant. I'm not sure this is why they're called this, but this is how I remember these. An important one is, besides the tonic, the next most important one is the dominant. Okay? And I think that word means something. It's the dominant. And what's halfway between the tonic and the dominant? The mediant. If you're going in order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the one in the middle between 1 and 5 is the mediant. Okay? And then just below the dominant would be the subdominant. The fourth scale degree is the subdominant. And then the fifth is the dominant. And then the sixth, submediant. Now, my suspicion why they call that is it happens to be the inverse of a third is a sixth. It happens to be the inverse interval of the third, submediant. And then seventh, leading tone, and then we repeat and get to the octave. And the leading tone is one of the tones that is only it's a half step away from the tonic. Do, ti, do. And almost always in a melody line, if you've got ti, the next note's going to be do, because you want to lead to the tonic. Ti, do, ti, do, ti, do. Now sometimes we can delay that and maybe go ti, re, do, but we're still wanting to go to do. It's still leading to do, even though we snuck a re in between. The leading tone leads to the tonic. Okay. And cadences, we talked a little bit about this. A cadence simply is the end of a musical phrase. And some of the common cadences are authentic cadence, and there are two forms of it, perfect authentic cadence, imperfect authentic cadence, the half cadence, plagal cadence, and deceptive cadence. And now we've said enough about triads that we can define these a little further. We've already defined an authentic cadence as 5-1, and this is not a ratio. This is the second to the last chord is going to be a 5 chord, a dominant triad, or maybe a dominant seventh chord, to a 1 chord, a chord built on the first scale degree, a tonic chord. Okay, then we have perfect authentic cadence. The two subcategories. Perfect authentic cadence must have 2 additional things. Besides being 5-1, 2 more things it has to be perfect. And they are? I hear soprano has to end on the tonic. That's one of the things to make it perfect authentic. And the other? Both chords must be in root position. So the bass note on the 5 must be the 5th scale degree. And the bass note on the 1 must be the 1st scale degree. So sol to do. in the bass line, sol to do. Do, sol, do, sol, do, sol, do, sol, do. How many songs have you heard that end that way? Sol, sol, do, 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 sol, do. Okay? If you want to, and a lot of songs do that. You know, if you get a major symphony, they may go 5 to 1, 5 to 1, 5 to 1, 5 to 1 for 16 measures. Pounding in the authentic cadence. And if the top voice ends on, and if they are doing it in the bass line, sol, do, sol, do, sol, do, sol, do, then all you got to do is be sure that top line, maybe the violin or whatever it is in the orchestra, flutes or whoever's doing the melody, the top voice, if they end up on the tonic too, there you've got it, the perfect authentic cadence. Okay, so perfect authentic cadence has, besides being 5 to 1, which makes it authentic, both chords are in root position, highest voice ends on the tonic. In vocal things, the vocal things that we do, the highest voice would be the soprano part. Okay, then, imperfect authentic cadence is still 5 to 1, but for some reason, it doesn't have one or two of those other special things that make it perfect. So maybe the soprano doesn't end on the tonic. Maybe one of the chords or both of the chords are not in root position. If it's something, if it's authentic but not perfect authentic, then it's imperfect authentic. And then there's one other case that can make it an imperfect authentic cadence. There are a few times where we substitute a 7 chord instead of a 5 chord. But if you have the 7 chord acting as a 5 chord, we still think of it as authentic, but it's an imperfect authentic. And the reasons we can do that is because the 7 chord and the 5 chord share two of the 3 notes together. In the key of C, the 5 chord is G, B, D, and the 7 chord is B, D, F. The B and D are shared in common, so they do sound kind of similar. In some cases, the 7 can act as a 5 or be a substitute for the 5, in which case it would be an imperfect authentic. Okay. That's the authentic cadence. Most of our songs are going to have end in an authentic cadence, many of them perfect authentic cadence. Okay, half cadence. A half cadence you don't have at the end of a song. You're going to have it usually somewhere in the middle. Still the end of a phrase. And what makes something a half cadence is it ends on the 5 chord. And you end on a 5 chord, you end a phrase on a 5 chord, it's going to be a half cadence. Okay, a couple of others that we didn't talk about other than mentioning them, but we did not define, and Sam did the other night, he talked about the plagal cadence. What is a plagal cadence? Yeah, my two music theory children. Plagal, like a plague. Plagal. A plagal cadence has 4 to 1. Instead of 5 to 1, it's a 4 to 1. And 99% of your amens that get added at the end of a song are going to be a plagal cadence. Sol, do, sol, do, amen would be the bass part, 4 to 1. Okay? And maybe we'll get some songs that have amens, but if you see an amen, look at one at the end and add it on amen at the end. Look at the chords, it's probably going to be 4 to 1. A chord built on the 4th scale degree, resolving to a 1. Then the last one, and I can't off the top of my head think of any of these in our songs, but this could happen, it does happen, a deceptive cadence. Deceptive cadence is where you have 5 to, we expect 5 to 1, but it's 5 to something else. The 1 didn't happen. 5 to anything else other than 1, in a cadence, if it's a cadence, is a deceptive cadence, and the most common is 5 to 6. Sol, do, sol, do, sol, la. And maybe we're going to change keys, or maybe we're going to have a real unfinished feel to it, or some reason. Okay? Deceptive cadence. All right, and those are the most common ones. Questions on that? Yes, Tom.
Whenever I think of cadence, I think of more of a beat.
I did talk about this earlier, but no, it's still a good question. And as far as I know, these are just two different meanings of the same word. And you're absolutely right. You have rhythmic cadences. And there may be some connection between the words, and I don't know what it is, if there is. And they're both musical terms. You're in marching band, and the band is finished playing the song. They're marching along, finished playing a song, but they're going to continue to march. Very often the percussionists will then go into a drum cadence. And you know how high school kids are. They, you know, the drum line likes to make up sometimes their own cadence and kind of make them fancy. And, you know, sometimes it's even hard to figure out where the beat, and the main part is just to keep the beat so we can still keep marching. But, you know, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the fancier they can make it but still somehow feel where the beat is, then, you know, that's the more exclusive drum line that can do that kind of stuff. And the percussionists often don't ever quit. They play all the time. And if it's a long parade, it's a lot of work. That's a drum cadence, and to my knowledge, has no connection with this type of cadence. This type of cadence is it's a tonal thing, and it's the ways to describe ends of phrases. Okay, good question. I don't know. Oh, decadence? Is there some relation between that word? I don't know. You look that up and let me know, Tom. There's much I don't know. Who knows? There might be. I don't know. Other questions? Yes?
Does that relate to what you said yesterday, that
you didn't care if your students? Yes, it does. And I'm glad that Mark agrees with me. And you know, when we're all done with this, if you're all smarter than me, that's great. Okay, and I think that's... Oh, we did mention when we did this song, Peace, Perfect Peace, that it is an imperfect authentic cadence. I think that's all I want to do on that. Okay. Let's do The Lord Bless You and Keep You. Blue Psalm Books 614. The Lord Bless You, Keep You, 614. Now, since we just talked about cadences, we only did the verse part of this, the part that yesterday, that we didn't do the sevenfold amen. And I know some people, I guess I should have said that up front, because that's the way I planned on doing it. And I think some people were disappointed. I'm sorry. Remember the rule, have no expectations and you won't be disappointed. But that really was my plan. And my plan today is to get into the sevenfold amen. So don't worry, we're not going to do that right away, but we will do that. Let's look though. The Lord be gracious unto you. Okay? That's the end of a phrase. The amen starts again, something else. That's the end of the phrase. What key are we in? C. So in the key of C, the tonic is C. A tonic triad would be the notes C, E, G. And by the way, with a little bit of practice, I can now speak in thirds. And you can too. And that comes in real helpful when I'm spelling my chords. C, E, G, D, F, A, E, G, B, F, A, C, G, B, D, etc. Okay? And if you can speak in thirds, if you can spell your thirds quickly, then you can see, okay, what chord is this? What notes do I have? What chord is that? Okay? C, E, G, and, well, let's see what we have. We don't have a G on the word you. We don't have a G, but we have a C in the soprano, alto, and bass, and we have an E in the tenor. So I think that is a C chord. The fifth of the chord just happens to be missing. So we do have one as the final chord on the word you. Let's go to unto, the word to. Okay, now, what might it be? If we're finishing on one, the one right before it might be five. If we're having authentic cadence, might be five. Okay, fifth scale degree in the key of C, C, D, E, F, G. G is a G chord. Okay, G chord is the notes G, B, G, A, B, D, G, B, D. What do we have in the bass? G. What do we have in the tenor? G. What do we have in the alto? B. And in the soprano? D. G, B, D. There it is. There's the five chord. The tenor then adds the F to it, which now makes the seventh. G, B, D, F makes the seventh. Now we have a seventh chord there temporarily, and now we have a G7. Still a G chord, still a G, what's called major minor seventh, the dominant seventh, works just fine. So we have G going to G7 to C. Chord names, or 5, 5, 7, 1. Okay, so is it authentic? Yes, it's a 5-1, sure. Uh-huh. And perfect authentic. Okay, perfect soprano has to end on do, does it? Yes. And both chords have to be in root position. In other words, the 5 chord in the key of C, bass must have a G, do they? Yes. And on the 1 chord, bass must have a C, and do they? Yes. Is it perfect authentic cadence? Yes. Perfect authentic cadence. Now, for the advanced students, you can look one note, one chord before it, and sometimes, quite frequently, we will have a one chord in second inversion as the chord preceding that, called a cadential 6-4 chord. And that's exactly what's there in the chord right before it. So this really nails home with a cadential 6-4 going to 5-1 in root position, perfect authentic cadence. It just locks it in. That's the finish of this phrase. Could be the end of the song. It would work. And in fact, I think that's what they meant by putting the double bar there. You could just skip the sevenfold amen and hold out that U to like three notes, three counts or so, and you could have a complete song. Okay. All right. Let's sing it. And don't forget all the things we learned yesterday. Do, bass, and alto, mi, tenor, sol, soprano. On yesterday, the soprano part in particular, end of second line where it says, and give you peace, you have a quarter rest there. No, so, and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine. So, and give you peace. Okay? Now the other ones, the one right before that is held a little bit longer. And the one right before that is held also equally as long. Let's see. Upon, let's see, let me get it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. It ends in the middle of a beat. On, no, so on you. And give you peace. And give you peace. I'm going to try and conduct cutoffs there so that we can all do the sound at the same time. So we don't, and give you peace, and give you peace, okay? So watch for the cutoffs. I'll try and make that clear for at least the soprano, alto, tenor parts there. No, so, mi from the top, do, mi, so, breath. Good. All right. Good. Thank you. All right. Better. Much better. Okay. I'm going to talk about pronunciation tomorrow, but one word that just sort of stuck out, diphthongs, songs that have two vowel sounds to them. Pretty much all the long vowel sounds really are two sounds. A is one of them. Long A. A, it's really A, E. A, E. Okay? And the A part, the first part of most diphthongs, except U, the first part of most diphthongs are held, that's the part that's held out. So gracious. And be gracious. A, A, gra. Gray, and then ishus, gracious. I sort of overdid it, but we want the A, we don't want the E. This is not country western. And be gray, okay? And be gracious unto you, okay? So think of those, particularly the A stuck out in my, the gracious stuck out in my head on that one. Okay, one more time through, and then we'll get to the amen. Let's repitch. Do, bass, and do, mi. I have changed my philosophy of conducting a little bit. And I am heading toward being a minimalist. And so you're not getting big motions here. And in fact, the less I can do here, the better I feel about it. Maybe because I'm getting older and I don't want to work that hard. I don't know. But I have watched particularly some choral conductors that I really admire, and I've noticed they're not working that hard to make it happen. You know, I mean, they can conduct big when needed, but they're not working that hard to make it happen. So, huh? And the choir watches. As long as you can see, I don't have to have it real big, you know. So just be aware. I'm not going to make it real big for you, but hopefully we'll give you some of the clues and cutoffs and things that you do need. Okay. All right. Let's do the sevenfold amen. All right. Let's do it now. Voices. Words. Where do I find my words? There are only two syllables: ah and men. And you say sometimes many notes on them. Like, amen. So, there's several notes there, okay, on the same syllable. And sometimes men will even have more than one syllable. Although most of the time it's the ah that has a bunch of notes on the same syllable. Okay, where do I find my ah and where do I find my men? If you're singing soprano, look above the staff. And you'll find your words. If you're singing alto, look in the middle, and there are two lines there. You sing the top line of words. If you're singing tenor, look in the middle, and you're singing the bottom line of words. And here I have a picture of this. Might as well use the technology. Here we go. So right here, these words above the staff, above the grand staff, those are the soprano words. The alto part is singing, there's two lines here, the top line of those words. The tenor is singing the bottom line of the words in the middle, and then the bass is singing the words below. Okay? That helps to know where your words are. That will help you to know when to sing ah and when to sing min. And really, it'll help you to know when to sing which notes, even in addition, of course, to reading the notes. Okay, let's start. Since the tenor part starts, let's have the tenors sing first. Just the tenor part. If others would like to sing the tenor part with us, that would be great. Do mi sol. Now, there are also some dynamics on this. Let's ignore the dynamics for right now. Let's just work on being sure we get the right notes at the right time. Here we go. Do sol. Ready? Breath. Amen. Amen. In the last line, this is the last line of the second page, first line, the last line of the song, there are some instructions up here, right here in Italian. Dim, D-I-M, which is an abbreviation of diminuendo. Poco, a rit, which is for retardando. So the phrase without the abbreviations would be diminuendo poco, a retardando, which gives us a whole mouthful of instructions in Italian. Diminuendo means to get softer, a gradual getting softer. Okay, and that continues throughout the entire song. The second part of that, poco a retardando. Let's go to retardando first. To retard in music is to slow down. Our word retarded, as in mental retardation, simply means somebody who is slower mentally. Okay, so we are going to retard here in tempo, to slow down. Poco a poco means we're going to do it little by little. We're going to slowly slow down. This is a rate of change. This is a calculus problem. Calculus is simply a study of the rates of change of things. Okay? You didn't know it was that simple, huh? Those of you who have taken calculus, that's all you study, is the rates of change. Yeah. Acceleration is a rate of increasing of speed. Or deceleration, the reverse of that. So this is a deceleration. Little by little, we will slow down. Okay, so, and I am going to do that even in the practice right now. I'm not going to worry too much about the volume of it, but I am going to practice slowing down little by little on the last line. Okay, good. Tenors, very good. Let's. You think it might be authentic? Okay, at least authentic. What note is the second to the last note in the bass? G, and G in the key of C is the 5. We probably have a 5 chord there. And the last note in the bass is Do. Okay, so we have Sol to Do. It's probably an authentic. Do we have soprano ending on Do? No. So probably imperfect authentic cadence. Huh? 5-7? Yeah, it's a 5-7 to 1. Correct. Both in root position, but not ending. So the reason it's not perfect is because soprano does not end on Do. Okay, all right, let's do that again. I'm just going to listen this time, or I might pop in every once in a while, but I want to hear what's going on. And we could have a little more volume on the bass. Okay, that would be fine. All right, let's just visit a little richness here while we're here. Last line of the first page. It acted like it was going to come on. I'm here. Wake up. Hello. Here we go. All right. Right here. What's the interval? What's the interval? What's the interval? Right there. And then here? Third. Okay? When you have a third, and then the next one's a third, and the next one's a even from here to here. What do we call that? Parallel thirds. Bunch of parallel thirds all the way to there, and then a little reprieve there, and then another third. Okay? So, enjoy the parallel thirds. We like parallel thirds. We don't want to go crazy with them, and they didn't. But they are there. They're there. So, enjoy it. Let's do it one more time. And enjoy the thirds. Do, bass, mi, sol. Just. Tom Healy. To the office, please. Okay. You're right. The way to do this is, or a way to do this, is to hold your book up so that, and with my current glasses situation, that means I got to do this, but I can do it. Hold the book up so that when I look here, I'm looking here, but right now I'm also seeing Dean. Even if I'm reading these words, I'm seeing Dean and the motion of his hand there. Okay? And occasionally, you'll also want to just glance up and change the focus to the conductor just to, you know, to catch it every once in a while. So you'll be doing this. But if you're doing this, it's just a motion of the eyes, which is much easier than this, a motion of the head. Okay, let's add alto. Oh, one thing I was going to say before Dean's comment. One thing I was going to say, well, I like to do this, and I don't like to do this on a lot of things, but I like it on this song, is to hold the N of men. Amen. So I'm going to give you two sort of cutoffs. The first one is going to be to close it to the N. Amen. It helps for lots of things, including just the natural fading away, because it's harder to sing loud. And this, by this time, you're really soft anyway. Amen. Okay? So, look for that. And all, that will apply to all parts on the very last word, the very last men. Question? Okay, I can. Okay, altos, you get a break here. All right, tenors by themselves. What I'm hearing up here, though, is more tenor than bass. I'd still like to hear the basses louder. The basses are getting their notes. It's just not as maybe as certain, or we don't have as many, or whatever. Just sing out a little bit more if you could, basses. But just tenor part. Do mi so, breath. Amen. Sometimes tenors don't want to hold their notes long enough, like the very last, the high note. Amen. Last note, or the second to the last note of the last line of the first page. Amen, amen. It's three counts. One, two, three, four. And then the next one's also, the next long one is three counts again. One, two, three, and then it's two. Okay, so there's two notes there that are held to a count of three, and sometimes the tenors just don't want to hold it that long. Particularly once I start slowing down, they're not ready to do that yet. Okay? All right, let's add alto if we could, please.